when God is pleased. In God's final analysis of David's behavior, he said, David, I am not pleased. When David prayed his final petition of his prayer in Psalm 51, he said, then shalt thou be pleased. David had come to a place in his life where the most important matter of his entire existence was pleasing the Lord. What is the number one priority in our lives? Our number one priority should not be for God to love us, because God loves us no matter what we do. Our number one priority should be to please the Lord. Memory verse that goes along with the lesson today, Psalm 51:19. Would anyone like to do that? Psalm 51:19. You can glance at it real quick. Psalm 51:19. Anybody like to do that for us this morning? Brother Kelly, go ahead. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Brother Kelly. Psalm 51:19. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Following along in your lessons, is it really possible for us to please God? Yes, it is. We find the answer concerning how to please God in this amazing psalm, Psalm 51. David concluded this psalm by saying in verse 19, then shalt thou be pleased. In other words, there is something that I can do to please God. David had displeased the Lord. After David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and after he committed murder by having Uriah killed, the Bible says in the last part of 2 Samuel chapter 11, let's turn there, 2 Samuel chapter 11, we'll read verses 26 and 27. Second Samuel 11, 26 and 27. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. The thing that David had done displeased the Lord. The Lord was certainly not happy with David. Here, we'd see in chapter 11, we had seen all the things that had taken place there as David was upon the palace rooftop and saw a woman washing herself, and then gave it too much time, thought about it too much, meditated upon it too much, and it went into sin, and it went further and further into sin. Wound up, David's life did not please the Lord. That's chapter 11. Following along in our lesson, we must establish the fact that God loves us. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter what we become, God loves us. Some preacher once recently said that God doesn't love mankind, taking some verses in the scripture, and because of what mankind had done, and that at, because when Jesus Christ had come to earth, he had been mistreated. But God does love us. God died for us when we were yet in our sins. In fact, God died for us before we were even born. But the scripture says when we were yet in our sins, Jesus Christ died for us. God loves us. If we don't walk in the Spirit, God still loves us. Should we walk in the Spirit? Yes. But we never question that God loves us. God loves all mankind. Jesus Christ died not for only mine and your sins, but for the sins of the whole world. God loves us. There's nothing we can do to make God love us more or less. But there are things that we can do to please the Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we see in verse 5, 2 Samuel 12, verse 5, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. Beginning of this chapter, Nathan had come to David and had told a story about a man that stole another man's sheep. This man had many sheep of his own. The other man only had one. And yet the man with many sheep came and stole his only sheep. David's anger was kindled in verse 5 against a man and said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And then in verse 7, 2 Samuel 12, 7, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. And then in verse 13, I love verse 13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. What a blessing. What a blessing that at the point when God's man pointed his finger at David and accused him of his sin, David's heart was broken, and David confessed his sin before a holy God. And once he confessed his sin, God's forgiveness was there. God's forgiveness was there. Total forgiveness. David had come to the place where the most important matter in his life, he had finally come to the place that the most important matter was pleasing the Lord. The most important thing David wanted at this point was to honor the Lord in his life. What a blessing that as we go down paths that we shouldn't go down, that God is there waiting for us to turn, beckoning for us to turn, moving in our hearts through his word, through his spirit, to turn. And once we recognize our sin and turn, that he is waiting there with open arms. He's waiting there with forgiveness. As we had learned in Luke 15:20, with the prodigal son, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Didn't bring up any of the stuff. Where's all the money that you left with? Didn't bring that up. Nothing was brought up. He had come back. And the father was standing there with open arms. The Lord loves us. The Lord loved David. When David finally turned back, God was there, and the blessings of God were there. We were created to please him. The top of page 54. We were created to please him. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord, for thou hast created all things. God is worthy for us to live for him. Christ is worthy. Why? Because he paid the price on Calvary. In the early 1700s, two young Moravians heard of an island in the West Indies where an atheist British owner had some 2,000 to 3,000 slaves. The owner had said, no preacher, no clergyman will ever stay on this island. If he is shipwrecked, we'll keep him in a separate house until he can leave. but he is never going to talk to any of us about God. I'm through with all that nonsense, he stated. 3,000 slaves from the jungles of Africa were brought to an island in the Atlantic, there to live and die without ever hearing about Christ. Two young Moravians heard about it. They sold themselves to the British planter and used the money they received from the sale to pay their passage out to the island, for he wouldn't even transport them. The ship, carried with the tide, left its pier at the river in Hamburg and was going out to the North Sea. Moravians had come from Herrnhut to see these two lads off in their early 20s, never to return again. But this was not a four-year term. They had sold themselves into lifetime slavery, simply that as slaves, they could be Christians where the other people were. The families were there weeping, for they knew they'd never see them again. They wondered why they were going and questioned the wisdom of it. As the gap widened and the hawsers had been cast off and were being curled up on the pier, the young boys saw the widening gap. One lad, with his arm linked through the arm of his fellow, raised his hand and shouted across the gap the last words that were heard from them. And they were these: "May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering." They gave it all, that the lamb that was slain would receive the reward of his suffering. This became the call of the Moravian missions. This is the only reason for being, that the lamb that was slain would receive the reward of his suffering. Jesus Christ is worthy of our praise. Jesus Christ is worthy of our entire lives. He's worthy. You can read that account on the internet. Just put in two Moravian missionaries. That's not a fictitious story made up. That's two people that gave their lives totally for the Lord. You and I were put on this earth to glorify God. We can do it. It is something that we can achieve. No matter what we do or where we are or what we say, God loves us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But we must remember that we were created to please him. We weren't created for all the fun, and God does give us much joy. The joys of our heart he gladly gives us. We were created to please him. David came to a point in his life where he realized, man, I've been going down the wrong path. And he turned his heart. And David's full attention was that he would please the Lord. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 29, John chapter 8 and verse 29, John 8:29, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. He always did the will of the Father. Jesus Christ went to the cross in total obedience to the Father's plan. "For I do always those things that please him." Our desire should always be to please the Lord. We battle this matter every day. Are we going to seek to please ourselves? Are we going to seek to please the Lord? Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Who is it that we are to please? Do we try to please men, those around us, those that stand in front of us, and we can see whereas Christ isn't standing there in his physical body? And so pleasing him might not seem that important to us sometimes. Pleasing Christ is what we ought to do. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Of his good pleasure. Trusting the Lord is what pleases him. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Faith is trusting the Lord. In Hebrews 12:2, the Bible says, the Bible says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Looking unto Jesus, what is faith? Faith is looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. If we were to stand before the Lord today, we would not have to wonder if he loves us. However, we would wonder if we pleased him. To stand in front of the Lord today, take account of our lives. Lord, did I please you in my life? Did I please you? First of all, was it my goal? Hopefully, you're here in this room today. Hopefully, that's your goal, to please the Lord. I'm assuming that is because you're here today, to please him. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be concerned about his love. He does love us. We need to be motivated by the right things. Our one great desire should be to please God. If we do not trust him, we will not please him. We must trust him to please him. Do you trust him? Then pleasing God is best for us. When David displeased the Lord, he got into trouble with Bathsheba. When David pleased the Lord, he was right with God. What was best for David? Pleasing the Lord. What's best for us? Pleasing the Lord. You and I suffer greatly because we don't trust the Lord. We don't trust the Lord. Making the Lord happy is what we should do, but it is also best for us. Many times we become frustrated, worried, and troubled. But God help us. All we have to do is trust him. He will be pleased and we will be better off. Pleasing God is something that all of his children can do. You may think there are things you cannot do, but there is something all of us can do. We can all trust the Lord. Trusting the Lord pleases him, and it is best for us. This is why we were created. This is something every one of us can do. It pleased the Lord to give his only begotten Son for our salvation. Turn with me to Isaiah 53:10. Isaiah 53:10. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. We think of the cross and we think of all that Christ went through on that cross. What do we think of most? We think of all those physical things, those terrible physical things that Jesus Christ went through. all the beatings, the scourgings, the mocking, bearing the cross, the spikes, the spear. We think of all those things. But that day, as Christ hung on the cross and the world turned black and it turned dark, why was it dark? It was dark because Jesus Christ took my sin. Jesus Christ took my sin. Jesus Christ took your sin, and God the Father cannot look on sin. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross said, I thirst. I thirst. As man, certainly he thirsted for water. But as God, he thirsted for the fellowship of the Father. Because it wasn't there. Jesus Christ died on the cross alone. Alone. The Bible says that we should hunger and thirst after righteousness. Christ thirsted for water. Most of all, he thirsted for the fellowship of the Father that was gone because of sin. Christ paid our debt. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. To save our souls, Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose from the dead. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It pleases God when we repent and place our faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Are you here today and you're not a Christian? You need to be. Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin. You need to be a Christian. If you're not saved, after we're done speaking here, get with me, get with Brother Kelly Dye. Kelly, raise your hand. Get with Mrs. Ravert, raise your hand. If you're a woman, get with Mrs. Ravert. If you're a man, get with Mr. Dye. Or myself. If you're not saved, don't leave this auditorium today without being saved. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Christians, all of us can please the Lord by placing our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the child of God who has wandered away from the Lord, there is a way back to God. Read again this 51st Psalm. Read again this 51st Psalm. A door of mercy will be opened unto you. Confess your sins to God. He will forgive and cleanse you. He will restore and strengthen you. He loves you. Return to him now. Return to him now. Psalm 51 is the way back to God, the path back to God, the path back to fellowship. There is a way back to God. You and I can please the Lord. It is possible for us to do that. Take your questions, if you would, at this time. Compare 2 Samuel 11:27 and Psalm 51:19. What had to take place in order for God to be pleased with David's life? I need a hand. Tracy. Could you say that a little louder? Forsaking the sin. Was it a two-part question? What did it take place in order for God to had to forsake his sin? Excellent. Excellent. That's where it always is. Recognition of our sin and confessing. David had to come to a place where the most important matter in his life was pleasing the Lord. Okay, then second question. According to Revelation 4:11, why were we created? Sir? For God's pleasure. Excellent. Then, what then should be our greatest priority? Say it again. That we please to God, that we be pleasing to God. Excellent. Then what example did the Lord Jesus give us to follow in John 8:29? Ma'am? Okay. Jesus always did the will of the Father. You and I ought to always do the will of the Son. According to Galatians 1:10, if we please men, what is true concerning our relationship with Christ? We can't serve the Lord because we're serving man, because we're serving mankind. Should not be the servant of Christ. Excellent. Hebrews 11:6 teaches us one thing that is necessary in order to please the Lord. And what is it? Hebrews 11:6 teaches us. Have faith. Excellent. Have faith in God. Excellent. And then Isaiah 53:10. What was God the Father pleased to do and why? What was God the Father pleased to do and why? Tracy? Okay, it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to make his soul an offering for our sin. Okay, excellent. Hope that series was a blessing to you. I know it was to me. Looking forward to getting into our next one, the life of Joseph. Brother Kelly, you're going to pass those out. Life of Joseph. Genesis 50 and verse 20. Genesis 50 and verse 20. How come standing up in front of here, it's so hard to do? Genesis, yeah, Brother Dan, look that up for me, would you? Not you, Kelly. You're doing fine. Keep moving on those books. Right, what's the first three words there? What's that? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. That's what Joseph said to his brothers as they were fearing for their lives, because now dad was going to be dead. And what was Joseph going to do? Joseph knew God had a plan for his life. Joseph knew as he was younger, he knew while he was growing up and why he was going through all the things that he was going through, that God had a plan for his life. The life of Joseph. Next week we'll do the first lesson. The memory verse will be, in fact, Genesis 50 verse 20. There it is. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. That'll be the memory verse for next week. Grab a card out of the seat and commit that to memory. Kelly, was there anything else? Was there something else I needed to do? Okay, thank you. And then scripture memorization. What did you memorize this past week? This past 2 weeks? Maybe it was for a different class. Maybe it was for the ladies' class. Maybe it was for something. Scripture memorization. What memory verse did you work on? Anybody? What's new to you in the past couple of weeks that you learned? Ma'am?